4, we are going to read verses 35 down through verse 41, and we'll stand together this morning for the reading of God's Word. Mark chapter 4, verse number 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the seas obey him? And let's pray, and we'll all be seated together. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are the God that calms the seas. We thank you that you're the God of the storm. And we thank you for this portion of Scripture and just the wisdom and the insight it gives. I pray that you would help us to be our teacher this morning by your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would warm our hearts. I pray that our hearts would be tender unto you. Lord, I pray that you draw us to yourself. I pray that we would just have some understanding and some faith in particular areas in our life as we look to you, the master of the storm. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Our Lord's pulpit, which he preached out of, also crossed over as a fishing vessel. If you remember here in the beginning of chapter number 4, the multitudes pressed upon our Lord. They would not leave him alone. They came closer and closer until he launched a little bit away from the shore, and he spoke to them on the seaside. And some of you in boating, you ever take notice on a calm day that you can hear whatever is going on and all the other boats on the lake, that the message just carries out over across the waters. And our Lord spoke there, the Mount Beatitudes, like a natural amphitheater. He spoke there to the multitudes. And remember, at this point in his ministry from chapter number 3, his enemies said that he, by Beelzebub, by the devil, does these works. And so from that point on, he starts speaking in parables. And he says, for this reason, that in seeing they might see, and in hearing they might hear, and in seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. He was going to give more insight to his disciples, and he was going to give less insight into his enemies. This is a lesson for you and I, is that when we hear the word of God, we should respond to it then. Because if we do not act upon the truth which we have been given, we will not grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you want to know God more this morning, you start by obeying His Word. We experience God through His Word and following His Word. This is what we call the faith life. Our Lord illustrated it like a sower going forth with seed, and we know that the seed was the Word of God. And there was no trouble with the sower, there was no trouble with the seed, but there was trouble with men's hearts. Some had hard hearts and wayside soil. Some had stony soil that they just received God's Word for a short time and withered away. Some had thorny soil that the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and the cares of other things crept up in their life, and that Word of God was choked out of their life, and they did not follow through. However, some seed fell upon good ground, and it brought forth much fruit, 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. It was like a candle, remember, that you'd put on a candlestick, and it would shed light into the entire household. It was like just a little grain of mustard seed that's the smallest among all seeds, but you have that faith and you allow the Word of God to mix in the soil of your heart, that as a result of that, it can bring forth a great tree, a mustard seed type of a tree in your life. Christ is preaching this, and then he tells his disciples now, let us pass over to the other side. Some of the background of our Lord should be given here. You know, our Lord does not begin there with his birth as he's born to the Virgin Mary, that he is without beginning and without end. In the Gospel of John, it tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it goes on to say that by him all things were made. You know that God made the seas. That God is going to sleep here in his human body. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to be tired and sleep. Who designed sleep? Our Lord. Who designed rest? Our Lord did. And he is a God of all creation. It says in Hebrews, by him all things exist and consist. Did you know that God himself this morning is keeping you living and breathing and keeping you together? All men, David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That one thing wrong could go wrong in your body. Boy, a little blood vessel could burst in your brain this morning and your life would be over. That today is a gift from your Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. He holds your life together. By him all things consist and exist. And so when Jesus says, let us go over on the other side, hear that Jesus constrains his disciples. You know that God knows all things. God knows the situation that you are in this morning. Do you think that when he said to his disciples, let us go over on the other side, that he had no idea that a storm was going to come? That the Lord Jesus actually sent his disciples in to the storm himself. Sometimes we think that if we follow Lord Jesus Christ, that there's never going to be anything wrong, and nothing is ever going to go wrong in our life, that we're going to be healthy, wealthy, happy, and wise. A preacher who says that is usually selling you a prayer cloth. Right, Brother Ishmael? Selling you a prayer cloth. Selling you a bottle of his own sweat or some weird thing like that. Yeah, health and wealth, prosperity preacher. But the Bible says, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Job said that man's days are short, full of trouble. Even our Lord said on the Sermon on the Mount, he said this, it rains on the just and on the unjust alike. And that bad things come to those who live in this world, live without God, and there are bad things that happen to those who live with the Lord Jesus Christ and live in the church and please God and follow his will. But the difference is going to be whether or not you have Jesus in your boat. So having Jesus in your boat makes all the difference in this world. So our Lord says, let us pass over to the other side. I want you to notice there, so it's Mark 4 and verse number 35. In the same day, in the even was come, he saith, let us pass over unto the other side. And it says, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. Verse 37. Lord constrained them and sent them into the storm. I say this morning, that we know the storm is real. We know the storm's going to come. We know the storms of this life, the trials of this life, they are going to be there at one time or another. You know, I just heard, you know, statistics are just in, that 10 out of 10 people die. Do you know how many knew that? You know that all of us here, sitting here this morning, at one point in our life, we're going to get sick, and we're going to stop breathing, and we're going to go out into eternity. You know what that is? That's a hard time. You know, there's going to be points in our life where we lose a job. There's going to be points in our life where perhaps we're serving the Lord, and one of those that we love rebels against the Lord and displeases the Lord. That's a storm. That's a trial. And so we know that these are going to come. So you're in three stages here this morning. You're either before the storm, or you're in the storm, or you've just come out of the storm. And we notice our Lord, and we talk about the calm in the storm. We see that the Lord Jesus, of course, he's ministering, and people will not leave him alone. And there's nothing that will drain you more than constantly dealing with people. And, you know, just a little glimpse of this is I remember going and visiting the pods in jail. They don't let us do it here in this county, but Wayne County. We go from pod to pod to pod to go in there with a briefcase of Bibles, and everyone says, "Oh, fresh meat. I want to talk to this guy, somebody from the outside world," and immediately run to you. And boy, you can spend hours in there, and you're trying to determine who really needs help, who really wants to talk about Jesus, and who really just wants to talk. And spending hours with people, dealing with them and dealing with their life and counseling with them, you know, just 3 or 4 hours in there, boy, I mean, you are just absolutely exhausted. And you know, they say that guys only have like, what, 10,000 words a day? And women have 15,000 words a day. And so, you know, women come home, they only have about 5,000 words left. I want to tell you, I was in the deficit several thousand words. I didn't want to talk to anybody for the next week. I talked enough. And so our Lord is drained and he's tired. And we see the calm in the storm. We see the rest that the Lord Jesus has, that he's just resting in the Father's lap. And here there's going to be a tremendous storm, and it doesn't even touch him. It doesn't even faze him. It doesn't even wake him up. However, we see these men are fishermen. Man, they have made their livelihood on this lake. They've clocked in thousands of hours upon this little 3-mile lake. I mean, this is their bread and butter. This is how they fed their family. It would be like a mechanic who's been a mechanic for years and years and years. You know, if a issue comes up in a car, says, "Well, I've dealt with everything. I can figure this thing out. I can handle it." These were fishermen, professional boaters, and they're out there on the storm. The first thing we see here is that the storm tries our life. It tries us. Job said, "When I am tried, I will come forth as gold." Solomon said this. Here's the wisest man who ever lived. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 2, he says, "It is better to go into the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living lay it to his heart. The heart of the wise in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth." You know, when I'm tried and I go into a difficult situation, I am wiser because I went into that difficult situation. I've never met anyone who came to Christ and said, "Boy, you know, I was just on vacation and we were having such a good time there at the beach and the weather was beautiful and the waves were just crashing in and it was so much fun that I just said, I'm going to give my life over to Christ." Never said, "I was at a party and it was so great and it was so fun, it was exciting and all my friends were there, we were having a great time, we were having a good time." And I says, "You know, I'm just having such a good time, I'm going to give my heart to Christ." You know, and I tell when I go into preaching in the jail, I say, "You know, guys, don't worry about jailhouse religion. I promise you, everybody who ever came to Christ was in a jailhouse of one circumstance or another. They realized the emptiness and the futility of their life. They realized how hopeless they were without God, and they gave their life over to God." Look at Psalms 107. Psalms 107. This is a beautiful psalm, and it lines up here with our story absolutely perfectly. Psalms 107 in verse number 23. Psalms 107, right there in the middle of your Bible, Psalms. Psalms 107, in verse number 23, it says there, "They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. It says, for he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind." He commandeth. God commandeth. God sends the storm. He raises the stormy wind. And it says, which lifteth up the waves thereof, they mount up to heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul, the sailor's soul, is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like drunken men and are at their wits' end. Then, after they're at their wits' end, it says, then they cry unto the Lord. They cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distress. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. God has his ways in the storm. Not only does he calm the storm, he also raises the storm, that God sends the storm. Now understand that these disciples were getting to the other side, that Jesus was in their boat. Let me tell you something, that if you're a child of God here tonight, and you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, I should say this morning, I know somebody thought, he said that wrong, this morning. If you're a child of God here this morning, you're born again, you're placed into God's family, you were taken out of Satan's family, and you were placed into God's family for all of eternity. Our attitude towards God is that of a heavenly Father. Not one instance will we see in the Bible where someone is kicked out of God's family for doing bad and then had to be born back in to God's family. I was born to Tim and Mary Ann Young 37 years ago, and I will always be their child. I have their genes. If you're born again into the family of God, the Bible says you're sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. Guess what? You're getting to your place of destination. That if you've received Christ, you are going to end up in that street, on those streets of gold before the Lamb of God, that you are going to get to your place of destination. And so between here and there, I know that there's going to be some times in my life that God is going to raise up the storm. He has his way in the storm. Here's his way. He brings men to their wits' end. Then, isn't it unfortunate? We think, you know, I can take it. Boy, I can handle rougher stuff than this, boy. And at first, I'm sure these guys, this is just another storm. Boy, we've been through a lot of storms. We'll be just fine. We know what we're doing here. We can handle it. We can take care of this situation. And they don't even bother to call upon the Lord. He's right there in their boat. They say, this is going to be okay. This is going to be fine. We can take it. During the storm, you know, here's usually what happens in a storm. You got to lighten the boat. You got to lighten the load. You got to get rid of the excess cargo. The Apostle Paul, when he was in his storm, God sent a Euroclydon, there's a southeasterly wind and a storm. It says that they threw all the excess cargo overboard. You know what happens when you're going through the trial and you're going through the furnace of affliction? In the Bible, you know, Job said, when I'm tried, as I shall come forth as gold. When I'm in the furnace of affliction and God is trying my life, all the impurities and the filth in my life is bubbling up to the surface and is being exposed. You know, how many of you ever almost got in a car wreck? Your life flashed before your eyes and the whole nine yards. You know what happens just in that short little glimpse of eternity? What do you do when you come home? Do you kick the dog and say, how come my dinner's not made? How, you know, and how, do you do that? Then you know what you do? You get in there and you hug your kids and you hug your wife. You know what? What happened in this fast of a moment is all of a sudden your values surface to the top very, very quickly. You know, every once in a while a tragedy happens and you'll see somebody's house burned down. And they'll find out that a child or someone was left behind in that home. You know what the response is always is? Is, boy, we would have given up everything in a heartbeat if we could only have gotten Johnny or Susie out of that fire. You know what the fire does? It evaluates what is important to us. You know, at the same token, think of how many of these same parents would live their life for material goods only in a source or in a tragedy. They realize, I was living for the wrong thing. You see, it tests our values. It shows our vulnerabilities. It shows how weak that we really are. Our pastor in Oklahoma City Dr. Jim Vineyard was former Special Forces. He's up in his 70s now, and he is retired. And he was over in Laos before the Vietnam War, and just a tough man. And he got saved in his mid-20s. And he said he knew after he got saved, he knew that the Lord wanted him in the ministry, but he was making a lot of money selling insurance, and it was hard to make that transition into selling insurance. And I probably heard him tell this story probably at least, I want to say, 50 times. He said, we had a little boy, a little four-year-old boy, Matthew Lauren Vineyard. And he says, and he went in for a simple tonsillectomy, and he said that during that simple procedure, something wrong happened, and we lost Matthew Lauren Vineyard. He said, I remember that night going back to the farmhouse that we had there in Illinois, and he says, I sat down by the riverbank drinking coffee all that night, and knowing that God has spoken to you, Jim, you're supposed to be in the ministry. The storms of life show us our weaknesses. It shows us what's important. These guys, not only did the storm try them and try their lives and refine them, it also turned them to Christ. Christ was all of a sudden at the forefront. They went and they woke up our Lord. Look back there to verse number 38 of Matthew chapter number 5. And it says there, and he was in the hinder part of the ship. He's in the hinder part of the ship, and he was asleep on a pillow, and they wake him and say unto him, Master, carest not that we perish. Carest not that we perish. Let me tell you something, believer, is that the Lord is in your boat. And the Lord knows, and the Lord cares. But he's waiting for you to turn the boat over to his control. Here's the fisherman waking the carpenter up for help. Here's the men that they're going to turn to him and say, Lord, would you take control of this situation? I yield the boat over to you. I give my life over to you. And the thing is, with our life, you got to understand something about your own personal will, is that if someone says, you know, the Lord Jesus is my co-pilot, right? That's the bumper sticker. You know, the Lord is supposed to be your pilot. You know, I'm so thankful for the security of the believers. I'm so thankful to know, hey, that I am always saved no matter what happens, no matter how far the sheep wanders. I'm still a sheep. I'm not a goat. And know that the Master loves me, and he's searching for me, and he's calling for me. And there is a security in that. But there's a whole lot more peace when I say, Lord, I am giving my will over to you. Will you take over this situation and give myself unto him. They turn from their look from themselves, they turn their look over to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's something in your life, and you know there's a trial and there's a struggle. There's usually the point in your life where you start getting more into God's Word, where you start investigating God's Word, where you say, hey, what time is it? Oh, hey, I can get to the house of the Lord tonight. I can be in the house of the Lord tonight. I can look to Him. And it's the time in your life where you think, you know, I ought to start taking this prayer thing seriously. I ought to start blocking off different times during the day and start looking to the Lord. You know, when people struggle in their life, I always say this. Make a game plan. You have somebody that you're praying for, somebody that you want them to turn to the Lord. Man, where's their name on that list? Where's those scripture verses you're claiming for them? Where is that, that you're turning that over to the Lord and bringing that before the throne of grace and saying, Lord, would you do a work in this person's life? You know, hey, you're without a job right now. Well, show me evidence where you're turning that thing over to the Lord and you're dedicating that to the Lord. You're saying, Lord, I'm holding this up unto you. The relationship breakdown that you're having, where is that? Or the health situation, where are you going to turn that over to the Lord? You know, where's those verses that speak to you about that situation? They turn to the Lord. They turn to the Lord in their life. Turn to Him in their look. Also, they turned to him in their situation. They gave it over to him. You know, it says in Isaiah 57:20, it says, "The wicked are like a troubled sea." I want you to remember that the Bible says, "In our own hearts dwelleth no good thing." Someone says, "You know, I got a good heart." Or they say, "So-and-so's got a good heart." It's usually because they're really bad on the outside. They say, "But I know." They're interviewing some lady. "Ma'am, your son just took a chainsaw and massacred a bunch of people." "Well, my boy just got mixed up in the wrong crowd. But I know." Here's mama talking, right? "He's got a good heart." Right? You know what the Bible says about our heart? "Is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things, who can know it?" You know, unless I turn my heart over to the Lord, I will enjoy no peace. Isaiah 26:3 says this, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee because he trusteth in thee." You know what faith is? Bottom line is faith. You know what faith is? You get all sorts of fancy definitions, but faith is simply looking to Jesus, looking to him. How are you saved? You look to Jesus on the cross, and by faith you trusted in him and what he did for you on the cross. How do I get through the storms of life? I have to look to Jesus in that storm, and I have to look to him, and he provides peace. They were looking to him. They were trusting in him. Look at verse number 39. Here we see faith turning into trust. Verse number 39, it says, "And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." Now this is a divine miracle. This isn't the winds dying down and then the lake slowly, gradually calming. This is a little 3 mile wide lake right by the Golan Heights. And what happens is a weather change, cold air will drop down on this lake very quickly, and this lake, it's super choppy. You know, I've read accounts where 200 yards, this 3 mile lake, 200 yards in, the waves will increase up. And of course they slosh back and forth. It's such a short body of water, and they hit together and they hit together and they hit together. So if the Lord Jesus said, "Peace be still," and the wind stopped blowing, guess what would happen? He said, "Peace be still," and it was all settled immediately. You know that God can give that kind of peace to you and I, a supernatural peace in that time of storm. You know, a man will drive around for hours before he asks for directions. Isn't that true? GPS. A man will drive around for hours before he turns on the GPS. "I know where this is. I don't need that GPS. I don't need to turn that on." But you know, there's something so nice when we finally give up and say, "Okay, honey, you're right. I'll punch that address in the GPS." And immediately, what happens? We get taken in the right direction. There was a lady by the name of Louisa M. Stead. And she was the wife of a pastor in New York City. And one day they went for a holiday down by the coastline and down, it was actually down in Long Island. And they were picnicking, her and her daughter, Louisa. And they looked out in the water and they saw a young man drowning. And Louisa Stead, her husband, heard the boy, ran out to the boy, swam out to him. And they both got caught in the same riptide together. And that day, her preacher husband, her pastor husband, drowned in those chilly waters off of Long Island. Of course, back in the 1800s, they didn't have the welfare system that they do today. They didn't have the safety nets that are there today. And really what they were living off of was the benevolence of other people. Her and her daughter many times would sit down and they would pray and thank God for the meal that they were about to eat. And there was no thing in front of them on the table, and literally someone would knock on their front door and they would go answer it and there would be a meal. She penned these words, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, So she said, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. You know, as she's writing this, prayers are being answered, and she says, I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Savior, Jesus, friend. And I know that thou art with me and wilt be with me till the end. Jesus says, peace, be still. You know, there's something that is learned in the storm. Their faith goes to trust. You know, the Bible says we go from faith to faith. And, you know, when we go through the storm and we have that peace, peace that passes all understanding, and God gives us that supernatural peace, you know, we can trust him in the next storm. Not only can we trust him in the next storm, you know, and Jesus said this, and this is a rebuke, but this is a rebuke because he felt sorry for them. Kind of like when you get on your children to say, you know, why did you stick a bead up your nose? Right? Now I have to take you to the hospital. They're going to take it out there. And he said, why did you do that? And here's the Lord saying to his disciples, why do you fear? Why do you have no faith? You know, you and I need to accept that rebuke this morning. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Why did you fear? Why didn't you just trust me? He calms the storm. Here's the reply. Let's look at the last verse there, verse number 41. They feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of this that even the wind and the seas obey him? You know, their trust turns into worship. You know, you could sing these hymns, standing on the promises of Christ my Lord. You could sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You can go through these, let those refuse to sing who never knew our God. And you can look around and, you know, you might not be able to tell by the expression on some faces, but you can tell that there's some people singing that song who have experienced those words, and there's a true worship that's involved there. You know, before ever experienced Amazing Grace, and then I could sing that song and it really did not mean anything whatsoever to me because I never experienced it. I couldn't worship God about his amazing grace because I hadn't enjoyed it. And you know, you go through that storm and you give your boat control over the Lord Jesus Christ. He brings you through to the other side. Guess what? You're going to have something to worship about. You're going to have something to praise the name of the Lord about. And you're going to have a God who you say, he's got me through this storm and I praise him for that. Last thing, I want you to notice their testimony. Their testimony. Look at the bottom of verse number 36. And it says, and there were also with him other little ships. No man's an island here this morning. Guess what? You know, your children that are watching you, your friends that are watching you, your family that are watching you, some of your parents maybe that are watching you and watching your faith, if they see your boat sink in that storm, they're going to have no confidence in your God. But you know, at the same time, the storm is an opportunity for me to glorify God. These little ships made it through the storm because one of those ships had Jesus on their boat. You know, you're going through a storm. It's a tremendous opportunity for you to give glory to God and be a testimony to other little ships that are out there in that ocean. You know, Jesus is going to end up on the other side of this storm. There at those Golan Heights is going to be a cave. And it's going to be a maniac, a demon-possessed man who's also watching this storm and sees the Son of God, Jesus of Nazareth, saying, peace, be still. I wonder if God could say, peace, be still in my life. I wonder if God could heal the demonic oppression in my life. You in your storm can be a tremendous testimony to others that are around you. Let's all stand together this morning and we'll have a time of invitation, a time of prayer. Lord, you are the master of the storm, and we know that you send us through storms, and even in your will, even when you're with us, we're following your leadership, there's going to be storms in our life. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to learn from this story, just to not rely upon ourselves, but to turn our vessel over to you. Lord, may we ask you to take control of our lives, our situation, and Lord, I pray that you'd help us to receive your rebuke. Why do you fear? Why don't you have faith? Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight as we respond to your word. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As the pianist plays, heads bowed and eyes closed, and just by testimony of an uplifted hand, you say, I know for sure if I were to die, I'd go to heaven. I know I'm saved. I know I've received Christ Jesus as my personal Savior. Would you slip up your hand if that's your testimony? All right. God bless you. Here you say, I'm not 100% for sure if I were to die, that I'd go to heaven. I just like to have that peace in my heart that I'm a child of God and I'm saved. That's my prayer this morning. Would you slip up your hand if that's you? All right. God bless you. Invitation's open. If you want to come and pray, you can pray or pray where you're at.